there. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek, and I am thrilled that we have got a great guest on the show today. Tim Staples is going to be joining us to talk about the Annunciation. Tim Staples, or Tim Catholic Answers, whatever you want to call him. I'm so excited I can't even talk. Tim Staples from Catholic Answers, in a recent interview that I did on Spirit of the Morning, talking about the Annunciation. And as you'll hear in the interview, the way this came about is I was driving in the car one day praying my rosary, and, you know, I meditate on the different mysteries, and I had some questions about the Annunciation. Actually, I've had these questions for a long time. Some of them have been answered over the years. I was asking the Blessed Mother about some of these things, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be great to sit down with Tim and really just go through this whole episode, the Annunciation, and ask him some questions. So Catholic Answers was kind enough to be willing to send Tim and Jimmy Akin to be on the program on Spirit in the Morning. So we got this interview with Tim. Now, it's a little bit longer than the typical interviews that I do on the program. Actually, it's almost twice as long. So I'm going to have to get right to it. Just a quick reminder, because I want to get the Mass readings in today. Tomorrow's program will be pre-recorded. I'm heading to the Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia. Please keep us in your prayers. I'm leading a Stop Worrying and Start Living retreat. So we're going to be there for the weekend, but I'll pre-record the show before I go. And incidentally, tomorrow's guest on the program will be none other than Jimmy Akin in another Catholic Answers pre-recorded interview. So let's pray quickly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, inspire all my words on this show today and open our minds to be receptive to your message. And of course, Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to guide us. And we realize that you reign in union with God the Father and Jesus the Son. And we thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am Gary Zimek. Thanks for tuning into the program. Just remember that the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Excuse me. I don't have my beverage du jour, and I'm getting a little choked up. Is now available on Patreon. The easiest way to get to it is to go to followingthetruth.com and click on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled banner at the top right-hand side of each page. It'll get you right there. You can sign up and start receiving, if you want, the daily podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the first Catholic podcast designed specifically for worriers. Okay, let's go now with today's daily Mass readings, Thursday of the 17th week in Ordinary Time. First reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 40, beginning in verse 16. Moses did exactly as the Lord had commanded him. On the first day of the month of the second year, the dwelling was erected. It was Moses who erected the dwelling. He placed its pedestals, set up its boards, put in its bars, and set up its columns. He spread the tent over the dwelling and put the covering on top of the tent as the Lord had commanded him. He took the commandments and put them in the ark. He placed poles alongside the ark and set up the propitiatory upon it. He brought the ark into the dwelling and hung the curtain veil, thus screening off the ark of the commandments, as the Lord had commanded him. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the dwelling. Moses could not enter the meeting tent, because the cloud settled down upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the dwelling. Whenever the cloud rose from the dwelling, the children of Israel would set out on their journey. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not go forward. Only when it lifted did they go forward. In the daytime, the cloud of the Lord was seen over the dwelling, whereas at night, fire was seen in the cloud by the whole house of Israel in all the stages of their journey. This is a reminder for us of the presence of the Lord. And look what was happening. The people at the time were depending on the Lord to give them a sign. He would tell them when to move, when to do, to go forward, when to stop. This is the same thing that applies to us in our lives. Are we asking the Lord for the help that we need to go forward? Are we trying to do His will each and every day? How do you do that? You do that through prayer. You do that through prayer and asking for His help, asking Him to guide you. And this is not just a fluffy statement. This is legitimate. If you're trying to make a decision in your life, if you're trying to follow God's will, ask Him to guide you, to help you. And then listen to His answer. You get the answer through Scripture. You get the answer through feelings inside after praying. You'll get the answer through other people. But you've got to keep that connection with Him every day. One of the best things you can do is to go and pray before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. That's really Him. So pray for Him either in the tabernacle at Mass, before or after Mass or after Communion, or pray to him in an adoration chapel when he's fully present in the Eucharist. It's a very powerful thing to do. Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O mighty God. A reminder for us that God does dwell, not only in our hearts in the Holy Spirit, but he is in our churches, like I said, in the tabernacles, the adoration chapels. And you could take it a step further. Spiritually, you can find him anywhere you go. I say that a lot, but you really need to remember that. My soul yearns and pines for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest in which she puts her young. Your altars, O God of Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed they who dwell in your house. Continually they praise you. Blessed the man whose strength you are. They go from strength to strength. I had rather one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I had rather lie at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What's your desire? Do you desire to be with the Lord, to be in his presence? Well, that desire is a start. Now, what about if you don't have that desire? You know, you might listen to this program and you honestly say, Gary, I listened to this. I know I should do this, but I don't have that desire to spend time with the Lord. I'd rather watch TV and look at other things, go do fun things, quote unquote. Well, ask for that desire. You know, you can say, I wish I had that desire. That's a prayer. Lord, please change my heart to desire you more. Please, Lord. I know this is a scary thing to say. We don't like to say this, but I know, Lord, that it's boring to pray sometimes or boring to go to adoration. I wish I could really care about that. I really wish that I could spend more time with you. Lord, can you change my heart so that I really enjoy reading the Bible, so that I really enjoy spending time in your presence? That's a valid prayer. We're afraid to say it, but let's get real here. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we feel. He loves you so much. That's not going to change anything. The very fact that you say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I just wish I wanted to spend time with you. Can you please change it? Change my heart so that I really do want to spend time with you? He's not going to get mad at you. Make sure you ask him. Ask him for everything that you need. That's one great thing to ask him for. The Gospel according to Matthew today, chapter 13, verses 47 through 53. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new." When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. There is good and there is evil in the world. That is not going to change. At the end of time, everybody's going to be judged. At the end of your life, you're going to be judged. Don't get distracted by the fact that there are people doing bad things out there. Keep focused on yourself. You try to grow closer to Jesus every day. And don't worry about the fact that people are sinning. Try to grow closer to Christ and then be an example by your life for others. And yeah, sometimes you're going to have to tell somebody something. Sometimes you're going to have to tell your children, maybe your spouse, maybe a friend, hey, you're on the wrong track. What you did was wrong. But you pray about it. You know, you pray for the right time. You pray for the gift of prudence so that you know when to say something and when to hold back. Really important message. But don't let evil get you down. That has to do with free will. God could squash any evil that he wants to, but he doesn't want to. And do we understand why? Well, other than the fact that we have free will, we don't understand everything about God. And that's okay, because we don't have to. To me, I find that really liberating. I don't need to figure out everything about God, even though sometimes I think I should. And it drives me crazy. But When I relax and realize that that takes a lot of pressure off me, that I don't have to do God's job, then there's a lot of peace involved in that. So just be grateful that we are able to go to him today and be grateful for the ability to be in his presence, no matter where you are. That's the message for today. All right, I'm going to take a break, play something from the Christophers. When we come back, Tim Staples And we'll be talking about the Annunciation, when the angel announced the good news to the Blessed Mother. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In 1992, Armand Dyangienda, an unemployed pilot in Africa's Congo, decided to create an orchestra because he thought classical music could bring beauty to the war-torn lives of his countrymen. The only problem? He had no music experience, no musicians, and no instruments. But Armand didn't let that stop him. As chronicled in a Christopher Award-winning 60-minute segment, Armand learned to play music himself and recruited several members of his church. Word of his mission spread far and wide, attracting donated instruments and new recruits. Today, Armand's dream has become the Kimbanguist Symphony Orchestra, the only all-black orchestra in the world, and a testament to the power of determination and hard work. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Well, right now, we are joined by Tim Staples, who is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization at Catholic Answers. You hear him often right here on Holy Spirit Radio and Catholic Answers Live. I invited Tim on the program to talk about one of the important events in the life of the Blessed Mother. Today, we're going to talk about and explore the Annunciation. Tim Staples, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Gary. It's great to be with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Tim, what I thought, you know, I was praying my rosary not too long ago, meditating on the Annunciation, and I had some questions, and I thought, well, let me get a Marian expert. You have written several books about the Blessed Mother, including Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. So let me get a Blessed Mother expert on the show. So if you're ready, let's take a look at the Annunciation. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. We have in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we're told this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Tim, right off the bat, any significance to the angel visiting this city of Galilee named Nazareth? Is Nazareth a big city?
No, actually, and especially back then, I think a lot of times we think of big cities like in the modern era.
Yeah.
When we hear of a city of Nazareth, but no, this would have been a very small town and inconspicuous. We're talking about our Lord loves to do what St. Paul describes, you know, in 1 Corinthians, God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Mary, we're talking about a 14 or 15-year-old little girl who, you know, I often joke, Gary, that this drives John Calvin crazy, the idea that God would entrust the salvation of us all, the transformation to the of the entire universe to a 14 or 15-year-old little girl. But he does. God loves to do that. He loves to use you and I, Gary.
Yeah, and that's, to me, Tim, that's a really comforting thought, and that's what I was getting at with this town. It's not someplace that you would expect God to send his angel to, right? And that's a great message for us. Now, the first words of the angel to the Blessed Mother were, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Now, here's the part that blows me away. We're told by St. Luke, Mary was greatly troubled at the saying. Interesting. You know, a lot of times it's said, well, Mary was greatly troubled because she was afraid of what the angel was asking her. But he didn't really say anything yet. Tim, could you elaborate a little bit on those words? Why do you think Mary was greatly troubled?
Yeah, in fact, in my book, Behold Your Mother, I quote James White, a very popular Calvinist apologist, who says this is just a simple greeting, easy to understand in context. Catholics make way too much of it. But if it were just a simple greeting, why does verse 29 say Mary was greatly troubled at the salutation?
Right.
And the reason is, of course, those words are packed. Hail, full of grace. I love what Pope St. John Paul the Great points out in his great encyclical, Mother of the Redeemer, of March 25th, 1987, when he says that the angel actually gives Mary a new name or a new title here. The greeting, Kyrie, is normally followed by a name or a title. We see that elsewhere in the New Testament, John 19:3, for example, and elsewhere. So you almost expect him to say, Hail Mary. But
right.
Instead he says, Hail, full of grace. And that word is a kekaritomene, a perfect passive participle, which is a name, number one, that indicates Mary is she who has been completed in grace or perfected in grace. Here we have an indicator of the Immaculate Conception right from the greeting. Mary is being named, which indicates a permanent state full of grace. No doubt this would have been very troubling to Mary. You're giving me this title, and I don't know where this is coming from. She's greatly troubled at this, but as the conversation moves forward, the angel tells her exactly why.
Yeah, now, and I'm glad you really unpacked that, because that is something that often gets overlooked, this fact that she was greatly troubled by this thing. I don't know about you, Tim, but an angel appears to me and says, Gary, hail full of grace, the Lord is with you. I'd say, great, thank you. But obviously there, right, there is more to it. And we're also told that she considered in her mind what sort of a greeting this may be, which I think is a clue as well. She's pondering this.
Absolutely. She's pondering. This is rich. It's deep. There's a great mystery involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the conversation moves forward, the angel tells her just why he has, or God has through the angel, named her full of grace, because she is being called to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God, who, as we see in verse 33, whose kingdom will have no end, and then the fun starts.
Yeah, exactly. Now, getting back to that kingdom will have no end and some of the other things that the angel said to the Blessed Mother, at this point, because you hear speculation from a lot of people on both sides of this, is she aware of what's being asked of her, that she has been chosen to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah?
Right. Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
The angel is going to make that very clear. It's the initial salutation, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Those words are so packed full of meaning. The Lord is with thee. There she's indicated to be the daughter of Zion, the long-awaited daughter of Zion, who, in whom the Lord would dwell in full and through whom the Messiah would come.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt these words would have, she would have heard about them, the concepts of the coming Messiah.
Right.
But remember, this is hitting the Blessed Virgin Mary like a ton of bricks here.
Right.
And so she is pondering these things in her heart, as we see, you know, Luke 2:19, Luke 2:51, 52. She ponders these things. She's not going to have the full grasp right from the start. But again, the angel will move her forward in the conversation.
And I'm glad you made that point, because sometimes it can be forgotten that Mary was human. She didn't have all the answers. So as you said, she's trying to deal with a lot being laid on her all at once.
Yes,
right?
Boy. She knows there is something extremely important going on here, and you know she would be the humble handmaiden that she is. She would be overwhelmed at the thought, why is the Lord calling me, and what is he calling me to?
Right. Now, Tim, sometimes I do a lot of speaking and writing about overcoming anxiety, and one of the things I always like to highlight is the fact that the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary. Just because Mary was conceived without original sin and she never committed a sin in her life doesn't mean that she doesn't experience the human emotion of fear, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Of course, that's the difference between servile and filial fear. This would have been a filial fear. She knows she has faith. She knows the Lord loves her. She knows that the angel is only bringing a message of good, but at the same time, she doesn't understand. This thing is huge. And so there is that fear, that unsettling in her heart, because she really does not know. She, and no doubt, would feel unworthy. Here is the most worthy of God's creation, but being the humble handmaiden that she was, she would be feeling, I am so unworthy, because, of course, apart from grace, she is.
Now, it's interesting that there is no mention of fear after this initial mention by the angel. Mary hasn't even found out all the details yet. So anyone who says, well, she's afraid because she doesn't know how this is all going to come about and she doesn't trust God, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. There was never an instant where Mary did not trust God. She did not doubt for a moment, but she did need more information.
Exactly.
As we'll see a little bit later in verse 34, she asked the question, how shall this be, for I know not man, because she doesn't know how this is going to happen. You know, what we see is a real human person, filled with grace, absolutely, but a real human person that is walking with the Lord in trust, absolutely, but asking the questions, please, Lord, how is this going to happen?
Right. And not because she doubts. And let's get into that a little bit, if we could. You talk about verse 34, when she said to the angel, how can this be since I have no husband? Sometimes you will hear people say, well, there you go, she's doubting. Just like Zechariah did a few verses earlier, Mary is doubting. Not so, correct?
Not so. In fact, Zechariah received a bit of a punishment because of his unbelief. Mary is blessed, and multiple times because of her faith. So she does not doubt at all. By the way, the RSV Catholic edition here really misses the boat when it says, for I have no husband.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not in the Greek text. As I point out in my book, Mary's response is actually, how shall this be, for I know not man, which is a euphemism for Mary saying, I'm not planning on having conjugal relations, so how is this going to happen? She believes from the moment God speaks through the angel that she's going to have a child, absolutely, and the child's going to be the Messiah. And she's not doubting at all there. What she is asking in faith, absolutely, because notice, it doesn't say how can this be. Mm-hmm. The Greek text says estai, it's not dunitai, it's not how is this able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's how shall this be, estai. It's a definitive statement of faith, for I know not man. In other words, I'm not planning on having conjugal relations. She asked a real question rooted in biology, and that's when the answer comes. The angel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. Therefore, that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be born of the Holy Spirit. She gets her answer.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that, because I have discussed that in the past. I've read certain theologians have speculated throughout the ages that Mary had taken some sort of a vow of virginity. That's a confusing subject, and I got some pushback on that. She was engaged or betrothed to be married. How is it possible that that's what was happening in her life? Could you explain a little bit about that?
Sure, and that I think you hit on a very important word when you say engaged. A lot of folks in 21st century America think of Mary and Joseph as being engaged rather than betrothed. Verse 27, of course, says they were betrothed, and a betrothal in ancient Israel was not like a modern engagement. They were married. They had what would be akin to a ratified marriage in our modern Catholic theology. In fact, in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22, you'll find that if someone sleeps with an espoused virgin, they're guilty of adultery, and it's punishable by death. Mm. The reason is you have that ratified union. So the fact that they already have the ratified union, and yet Mary asked the question then in verse 34, how shall this be, since I know not man, is the very foundation we find in great works of the fathers like St. Augustine, St. Athanasius, St. Epiphanius, and others. St. Ambrose will say the question betrays the vow. The question does not make sense unless you understand she already has the vow of perpetual virginity. Because, look, if she was, married in the normal course, she had received this ratified union, Joseph would then have the right to the marriage bed.
Right.
She would have known exactly how she would give birth to a child.
Right.
The fact
is
she asked the question, betraying the fact of the vow.
And that's another point that gets missed quite often, because if somebody was due to be married and an angel appeared and said, you will have a child, you know, big deal. Yep. I mean, that's what's expected. So, but when you consider what you just said, then the question makes sense. And I like this part. Mary asks this question as an example of the fact that she didn't know all of the details, but she was seeking to do the Lord's will, to find out the details. And the angel basically said, well, it's going to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Tim, I love this, because it turns out Mary was right. She was doing what God wanted her to do, to remain a virgin, but yet she was also going to deliver the Savior of the world. So, right? So I find that amazing. And then,
glorious.
Right? And I love the part that once he dumps these details on her, saying that, well, this is how it's going to happen, Mary says, okay, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. You know, whatever. Yes. I'm good with it. No more questions, Tim. That's when I would
let it be.
Right.
The Beatles got that one right. Let it be, right?
I mean, that's to me, that is just amazing. And that really illustrates the great faith and trust that she had. You know, not, well, how am I going to tell Joseph? Or what are people going to think of me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm good with it, right?
But you know, Gary, we also miss the power of those words. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Because the scripture just said, every word of God, I'm going to the Greek text here, because unfortunately the English translations are somewhat weak here when it says, nothing shall be impossible with God.
Yeah.
Actually, the Greek text reads, pan rhema tou theou, every word of God shall be possible, or not impossible, which you cross out the negative to make it a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Every word of God shall be possible. And then Mary responds, let it be done unto me according to thy word. In the Greek text, the two rhemas, the two words, are connected. Unfortunately, when the modern translations use translated as nothing, you lose the word. But it's every word of God shall be possible. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Well, what word is being spoken of? Well, how about all of them?
Wow.
Every word of God, all the prophecies of the Old Testament and the oral tradition concerning the coming of the Messiah were possible, contingent upon the response of this 14-year-old little girl. And when she responds in verse 38, let it be done unto me according to thy word, well, the word is made flesh and dwells among us.
Wow.
You and I can be saved. The entire universe is changed because of the let it be from that little girl. I mean, when you read the fathers of the church on this, Gary, they get it. The impact, the import of Mary's statement that literally changed the universe.
Wow. Wow, this is amazing. Tim, this is so insightful. Before I let you go, I have to ask you a question. I've wondered about this. I've heard different opinions. When the angel told Mary that your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, this is the 6th month, with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. I've heard it said that Mary was having doubts, and this was said to reassure her. What do you have? What is your opinion about what's going on here? Why were those words stated by the angel?
Right, and nothing could be further from the truth. Although you do have a few, even fathers of the church, a minority, who would posit the possibility of a sort of very slight doubt. They never use the term sin, but a slight doubt here.
Hmm.
Well, the opposite is absolutely true because of the language that Mary uses. It's definitive language.
Okay.
How shall this be, for I know not man? And when the angel says, this is the 6th month with your cousin Elizabeth, who is called barren, for every word of God shall be possible, this would have brought the point home to the Blessed Virgin Mary that there's a miracle going on here, Gary.
Yeah.
We're talking about the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament, scores of prophecies that are contingent upon her response, and she immediately responds without hesitation.
That's amazing.
Let it be done unto me according to thy word. There's no hint of a doubt.
That is incredible. And I love the way this episode ends. It ends, the angel the angel departed from her. Okay, Mary, you're on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, that's unbelievable. But he was sent to deliver a message. Mary accepted. Final question, Tim. Did Mary have a choice?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes, we are not Calvinists, and that is one of the crucial things we have to see here. Mary was entirely free. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, whom I quote in my book, in his famous homily in the 12th century called In Praise of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he brings it out so dramatically here when he says, when the angel asks the question, he then steps back and awaits her response. And not only the angel, Gabriel, but David, the patriarchs, all the saints of old, all the cloud of witnesses of Hebrews 12, and we could add all the angels of heaven, were all awaiting Mary's response. Because she was entirely free, they were basically saying, come on, Mary, say yes, Mary. And when she did, as I said, the whole universe was changed.
Wow. Tim Staples, I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. You have cleared up so many points about a very familiar story that I think often we overlook the details, and we really shouldn't, because there's a lot in here. Tim, if anybody's interested in finding out more about your books, maybe bringing you out to speak, where is the best place to go online?
Best place to go is Catholic.com. I know that's hard to remember.
Yeah, really.
Catholic.com. Also, check out TimStaples.com. Got a ton of great information for you.
Wonderful. Brother, thank you so much for joining us here on Spirit in the Morning today.
God bless you, Gary. Thanks for having me.
All right. God bless. Well, we are back. We are completely out of time. I want to thank Tim Staples for appearing on the program today. I want to thank you for listening. God willing, we're going to be back tomorrow. And remember, if there's anything I could do for you, Gary at followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And as I tell you each day, remember that the Lord is with you wherever you are. Just make sure you say hi to him. Talk to you next time. God bless you. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.